This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. A growing number of jails around the country have converted to a new system of inmate visitation, video. Mecklenburg County has adopted the procedure as well. Inmates no longer meet visitors in person. They talk to them through television, and in Mecklenburg, they get one free 25-minute virtual visit per week. Additional visits cost money. Inmates can buy them for $12.50 for each additional 25-minute visit. The upside is that these visits can take place any day of the week instead of a single fixed day, but the money inmates pay for those additional visits goes to a company called GTL. They paid the installation costs for Mecklenburg County's $1.7 million system, so they keep the revenues from the remote visits with inmates. Proponents believe this makes jails safer because inmates don't have to be moved to visitation areas. The system saves money on staffing, and proponents say it makes visits more convenient for families, allowing them to schedule visits at times that best suit them. Opponents believe video visits are not an adequate substitute for in-person visits because you can't make direct eye contact. They say the picture and sound quality are quirky, and because inmates are entitled to only one free video visit per week, this places a burden on poor inmates. Today we hear from both sides of this argument. Later in the program, Mecklenburg County Sheriff Erwin Carmichael will join us, but we begin with an opponent of this practice. Toussaint Romain is a Mecklenburg County public defender or assistant public defender, and he's back with us for this part of the program. Welcome back to the program.
Man, thanks for having me.
Good to see you. When did this policy of video visits, when was it first instituted in Mecklenburg County?
Well, I believe it was in October of 2016, but let me be honest, let me reframe the question that you've just presented. I don't want to whitewash this conversation with proponents and those who are against it. This is not about video phone conversations, and we're going to call it what it is. It's for-profit video visitation. So let's put those two words in there, for-profit. More importantly, the article that I wrote and what's being discussed now are two different things. My conversation, my article was purely about the profit that's being had. It's purely about the way we're exploiting poor people through the money. Now, if we want to talk about whether in-person is better than video, for-profit video visitation, I think that's your question, what's being framed in the community, in the conversation around our community. But my whole point and my only point was about how much it's costing, how much companies are making off of it, and the fact that this is a regressive tax that's hurting the most vulnerable. Yeah. And what's troubling is in Mecklenburg County, in the Opportunity Task Force world, in a place where we're leading on opportunity to help upward mobility of people, we're not addressing a practice and a policy that is exploiting the very people we're trying to help.
This cost, as I just said, $1.7 million to install. The system is a $1.7 million system. Did the county pay anything for the system, or was it all paid for by this company out of Reston, Virginia, GTL, which is something about, it's a telephone company, essentially.
So. Well, let's break that down.
And they run telephone systems in prisons and jails around the country.
Only. So Global Tellink and Securus are nothing like Verizon or AT&T. GTL is a company solely for jails and prisons. They're a telecommunication company, but they're not telecommunication. They're simply internet-based company that basically sells their product to jails. Now, they come in and they sell it in a way of more efficient, it's going to make places safer, less travel with inmates inside. None of that is true. There still is as much travel and taking people inside of the jails as before. What we're seeing, though, Mike, is that these companies are coming in and they're setting these things up, and there are kickbacks. Now, the sheriff mentioned that he wasn't getting the kickback, but we know in other places, 46 states that have these kind of companies, someone is getting the kickback. In Mecklenburg County, the county gives the jail gives the sheriff's office $120 million in a budget every year. Mm-hmm. $120 million. Much of that money, though, we don't know where it comes from. So if there was a FOIA to say, hey, but county, who's getting this money from GTL? Where's this money going? Who's getting a benefit from it? I think we could tell a more true story about what this company does and how much they're making. Let me just say this too, if I can. I got to run with this, Mike. Because the reality is, these companies we know give kickbacks from $2 million to $15 million every year.
Mm-hmm. You keep calling it a kickback. Is that what it is? I mean, if they paid, Did the county? Let's go back and answer my second question, which was, did the county pay anything for this? It's a $1.7 million system. Did the county pay anything for it, or were the costs completely absorbed by GTL?
Based on what you said earlier, it's completely the company.
Okay.
But the reality is, we don't know. Okay. There's been no disclosure as to who has paid for it entirely and who is getting a benefit from it as well. We don't know the answer to those questions.
All right. So if, let's just say, the county paid, it doesn't matter whether the county paid anything for it, why would it be a kickback for the company to provide a stipend to the jail for allowing them to install their system and to use the system, which costs money to use after the first free call per week? Why would that be a kickback? Why wouldn't that just be a part of an arrangement? Because you're letting us install this, we're going to make money on this, but we'll also let you make some money on it.
So, Mike, if we lived in a nation where
this kickback is pejorative.
If we lived in a nation where it was okay to rape women, and yet one man stands up and says, well, at least I'll wear a condom, would we talk about the fact that this man wears the condom, or would we say it's wrong to rape people? Mm-hmm. Likewise, my friend, if we're in a place where we're talking about taking and exploiting poor people and taking money from the most vulnerable, and yet we're saying, well, there's a policy that says, well, if we use this money from these people, then there should be a cost. The issue, again, is not just the fact of, you know, whether it's a corporate experience and we should be giving these companies money because they're putting something in and there should be some profit for them. The fact is, this is a regressive tax. We're charging the people who can afford it the least, the most, to have a basic human need. And that's communicating and sharing with each other. Let's not miss the point. Let's not whitewash this conversation with economics, because that's all we ever do when it comes to exploiting the poorest of our nation. Well, they can deserve it, and they should get a profit from it.
Well, let's talk about this, because the people that this is not a prison. Mecklenburg County jails are not a prison. They are a jail, and they are a place where a lot of people go while they await trial. And in America, I believe it's still true that you are innocent until proven guilty.
You and I share that,
okay,
brother.
So you are in jail waiting trial, and you're in jail in many cases because you're too poor to what? Pay the fines to get out, to pay the bail to get out?
That's right.
So what you're saying is, you got people who are, some of whom will go to trial and be found innocent.
Yep.
So they're in there, and you're saying
the charges will be dismissed.
Okay, and they're paying to visit with friends and relatives. And I have read, I don't know how true this is, you can tell me, that a lot of people, family members, go into debt to help pay, defray the costs of people in jail. People in jail have to buy their toothpaste and soap and deodorant, correct?
That's right.
And family members do that. Now they're paying $12.50 for a 25-minute video visit.
That's right.
After the first free visit per week. So you're saying that that puts an undue hardship on poor people and, in some cases, innocent people.
I love it, man. You said it very well. And that's exactly the point. One out of every three people who use this service go into debt trying to maintain some personal contact with their family. Mm-hmm. We know, based on statistics and things that have been done around the nation, is that nearly 87% of those putting into this system are women. So we're not talking about the people in jail who are just trying to get a phone call. We're talking about the women outside of jail who are trying to find any money they can to be able to have their family connect with the people in jail and prison. Mm-hmm. These are women who are already working two jobs, women who have multiple kids possibly, women who are doing everything they can to maintain a basic level of life, quality of life, and yet trying to go. And here's the other point, though, Mike, that it can't be missed. Sadly, my friend, we know based on the Bureau of Justice Statistics, pardon me, I'm a little excited, so I'm maybe stuttering here just a tad, but BJS did a report, and we know that 86% of everyone who is in jail or suffers from jail has an income of less than $26,000. These people can't afford these costs, and that's what this is about.
How long is the average person in a Mecklenburg County jail?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. The sheriff can, and we should ask him. But he mentioned in his article that 18,710 visits happened before this program was put into place. Then there was a 25.9% increase in the number of visits. Mm-hmm. And that went up to about 23,562 visits, according to him, times 1,250. That means that the jail has made nearly 294,000 $525 off of jail calls.
Well, the phone company.
The phone company, but the jail is getting some of that as well. We know that because they bundle all of their sources.
Well,
that's not Mr. Pointer. That's $250,000.
I understand.
From jail calls.
But proponents will say, you see, this works because it has increased the number of visits to inmates, which is a good thing for the inmates and for the families. And they will also say it has decreased the risk of a family visit because evidently the way it was done before, they had to bring inmates out to a certain location. How was it done before? Did they sit behind a piece of glass? Was it on telephone? Was it in person, in an open room? How were visits handled before this?
In Mecklenburg County, it's much different than what the rest of the nation sees. We have a glass and they're brought into a hallway. They sit in an open hallway.
Mm-hmm.
One person on one side and the inmate on the other side.
And they communicate by telephone?
Through telephone or through the glass. It's the same thing that attorneys in this town do as well.
Okay.
So it's not reducing any cost or violence.
So if there was no cost attached to this at all, would you be opposed to this?
No, not at all.
You would not be opposed
at all? That's the point. Not at all. I'm not here to debate whether video visitation is wrong or not. I think the sheriff caught on to that, which is why he never mentioned it was a for-profit video visitation. No one in this community is going to debate video visitation as something that's wrong in and of itself. The problem, Mike, is that it's for profit and a private corporation is benefiting off of this. Why aren't we recognizing in this prison industrial complex, this is modern day slavery with a few people making a lot of money off of it?
So the sheriff's department the district attorney's office, the CMPD and other pieces of the criminal justice system have been working in recent months, maybe the last year or so, to try to eliminate some of these obstacles to poor people in jail by eliminating lowering fines and bail when people can't afford to pay it, and finding other ways to make the system work more equitably for people who are from lower economic rings. How does this policy fit into that? It goes against that, doesn't it?
It does, but the DA's office and CMPD are not lowering bails. They're not reducing the number of arrests. They're not doing things to benefit poor people. It's been the defense bar and folks like Elizabeth Gerber who are fighting policies and programs that they have in place. And it's been the pushback from people in the community saying these are wrong. Charging people, having this bail, keeping people in prison for these reasons, that's what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The companies like Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation and others are funding opportunities and programs to challenge bail reform. The folks that you've mentioned, the DA's office and CMPD, are only doing it because it may be politically advantageous to them. But the system remains the way it is. We're exploiting poor people, Mike, and we have to start speaking up about it. Again, it's the cost that's associated with this. It's for-profit visitation.
This, aside from the for-profit, which I know you're very obviously very concerned about here, there is a criminal justice aspect to this. Public defender Kevin Tully, one of your colleagues.
He's my boss.
Yeah, he's your boss. Okay, excuse me. He says that inmates are less likely to discuss their legal options with their families under this new system. And they trust their families in many cases more than they trust their attorneys because conversations are recorded under this system. That's true?
I went on a jail tour. And in this jail tour, I went into the jail pods and I saw the screen that was there. And the person giving us the tour admitted, we watch all of the recordings and we can turn something on or off, and we can also record. And we know in Texas that folks that use this company turned over those recordings to the DA's office.
Okay, let me stop you there because I have to take a break. We'll come back with more on that in a moment. Toussaint Romain is with us from the Public Defender's Office. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the relatively new policy of video visitation in Charlotte-Mecklenburg jails. In the first part of the program, we're talking to Toussaint Romain, who is Mecklenburg County Assistant Public Defender, who's opposed to this mostly because it is a for-profit enterprise. A little bit later on in the program, we'll talk to Sheriff Irwin Carmichael, who installed this system or who allowed this to be installed in the jails. Let's go back to this idea, Toussaint, that people are reluctant to discuss their cases and talk about strategy that the lawyers might be coming up with their families, because when they visit, these calls can be, doesn't mean that they are, but they can be recorded. And evidently, family members in days before this system was in place, when they were in person, family members could pass messages between defendants and their lawyers, because the lawyers can't be there every day. They could go over the facts of the case. They could review strategies about pending charges, which would help the defendant to become more familiar with what might be happening in the courtroom when the defendant and the lawyer come together. Can you, as a public defender, can you measure a difference in what has happened as a result of this system being in use versus the way it was before, in terms of your interfacing with your clients?
Yes, and Ramona Brandt, who was given a life sentence here in Mecklenburg County, or in North Carolina, spent 21 years in prison until President Obama exonerated her, mm-hmm. let her out. She and I spent time together last week, and she mentioned to me that, Toussaint, it was me being able to hold my children and being able to have face-to-face conversations with them and being in person with them that kept me alive and made me who I was and helped me work with my attorneys to have hope, to know that things could get better. She died on Friday, a few days ago. So, one, I dedicate this show to her in that sense. But she has mentioned and she has said, and many people like that are saying, it makes a difference for us.
But in the old system, if I understood it correctly, as we just talked about, it was still through glass on a telephone. You really couldn't reach out and touch your grandbaby. You couldn't reach out and people have said that this system is better for kids because they're not in the same environment as they were before.
But the only people saying that are administrators and people who are not touched by this incarceration. So Mike, get some family members on your show. Get some people who've been in jail on your show. Get some people who have to sit through a phone and have this conversation. You didn't call me on your show to have a show over the phone. You asked me to come into your studios. Why is that?
I actually don't like it when the guests are on the phone because I like to make eye contact.
Ergo, that's the problem for the system.
Kevin Tully, your boss, says that one of the consistent problems that they have with this system is with the court system, is the systemic dehumanization of people. And this is another example of that. However, we live in this world now where everything is technological. Everybody talks to everybody on a device, whether they're texting or they're sending a tweet or they're talking on the phone or they're using FaceTime on their iPhone. What's the difference? I mean, this is a technological world.
You won't get a debate from me. And listen, video visitation can be a complement to in-person traditional visitation. GTL says that. GTL says we're not here to replace in-person visitation. But they have in Mecklenburg County and in other counties. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it at profit. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the crux of my argument, not the sheriff's. Mine is this is a for-profit motive. This is a for-profit video visitation. The sheriff never mentioned in his article that there's $12.50 that they're making per phone call. Now, you want to talk about the benefits of this system and being able to have, you know, because of the way technology is going, tweets and messages and Skyping and everything else. I'm not going to argue against that. But that should be a complement to what we know to be in-person traditional visits. And if we don't charge anything for an in-person traditional visit, then why would we eliminate that completely and then charge for this for-profit video visitation?
If we're saving money on personnel and we're saving money on security, because evidently this is more secure and makes it more safe for everybody, according to the sheriff's department and other departments around the country, if we're saving money, why not make a little money?
So if you're saving money, let's see the numbers. It's purely making money. That's all this is about.
Because some of these
if you
people,
took out the profit margin, this company would not be around.
Because some of these people are innocent, but some of these people are guilty.
It doesn't matter. Guilt or innocence doesn't matter. We don't treat people less humane because we think they're a criminal. We shouldn't treat people less humane because they're black. We shouldn't treat people less humane because they're poor. Shame on us for even thinking that thought. If these were kids at a camp, would we say to these kids at a camp, you can only call home if your parents are willing to pay $12.50? No, we would never say that because that would be inhumane for those families and for those kids. So why are we willing to do that to the poorest of us in this nation?
But phone calls, long-distance phone calls used to cost money.
Yeah, but we live in
Mecklenburg. Your cell phone costs money every month.
But like Mike, let's not go there because, again, you're whitewashing this conversation. We're talking about Mecklenburg County Jail and people and families who live in Mecklenburg County. So we're not talking about California and New York and Canada and even Australia who are trying to come see family. We're talking about Mecklenburg County residents in Mecklenburg County being placed in Mecklenburg County jail, and they can't see each other. That's what we're talking about, unless they have a profit involved for this company where there are kickbacks.
Would it be acceptable to you and others who oppose this because of the profit margin, if the profit margin were less, if the calls were a dollar as opposed to $12.50 or whatever, you name a price?
Well, what price is too much for people who can't afford anything? If you can't afford to get out of jail, $1 may be nominal for you. Mm-hmm. $1 may be a million for poor people in jail. We're talking about poor people in jail who have to make a phone call.
And you've said that it's the for-profit nature of this that offends you, and that is wrong.
That's right.
In your words. So if they took the profit out, if it was free, if you could go in there any time of the day or night and make use of this system to do this, you still couldn't reach across the video screen and touch your loved one. You couldn't hug them. You couldn't stroke their hand. would you still object to it because of that? There's no physical contact.
Have you ever seen a baby born, Mike?
No.
Have you ever gone on TV? You ever gone to a hospital and looked through the glass?
Yes.
And see a baby in a little incubator or whatever the thing is that they're in? Why do that? Because there's an element of human touch and an effort that goes into that. There's a humanity that we have there. Now listen, again, this is not to debate apples from oranges. It's not to debate whether we should have video visitation or in-person visitation. That's not what my debate is. Mm. That's the sheriff's. That's the rest of y'all. My point is, with for-profit video visitation, that's wrong. The for-profit element is wrong. Okay. I'm going to continue to stick on that. That's all my article was about,
right. And
that's what we need to change to make our system more humane.
You're very passionate about this. Rumor has it that you might be running for district attorney, are you?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Toussaint Romain, Mecklenburg County Assistant Public Defender, thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
As opposed to video visits because of the profit margin or the profit motive, as Toussaint Romain is, Mecklenburg County Sheriff Erwin Carmichael says he did not enter into this decision lightly and says that since video visits began, and we just talked about this a few minutes ago, there has been a 25.9% increase in the number of inmate visits. And Sheriff Carmichael is with us for the rest of the hour. Thank you. Get a little closer to that microphone. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, Mike. Appreciate you having us.
As we heard, this technology was first deployed, I think, in Mecklenburg County about a year ago. And you said that you thought long and hard about this before you decided to proceed. Why was this a difficult decision?
You know, looking from our old operation, I mean, when a person would come in-person visit, it was set, depending on where they were housed in our jail, a certain day, a certain time frame, mm-hmm. period. No flexibility. And these folks would come in, and you would have folks lined up out the door. Mm-hmm. And then if you had a loved one that you were coming to see, let's say you were 30th in line, mm-hmm. someone else may have been second in line to see your loved one. Now when you get up there, you can't see them because they've already had their visit.
Had their visit.
Yes. So
why is it the same true for the video visits?
Because it is scheduled. It's guaranteed you're going to get your visit because it's scheduled in advance.
Can you get multiple visits a day?
Yes.
As long as you pay for it?
No.
The first one's free.
First one free, but now we're going to announce today because, you know, I've heard some folks, and, you know, I always look and I listen, mm-hmm. okay? So we're looking at it, and we've made sure that we're able to do this, our system, our staffing. We're going to double the visits.
So the first two would be free.
Yes.
How many
free
visits?
Of charge.
So you could have unlimited visits as long as you can afford to pay for them.
The remote visits. Yes, those are remote visits. But you're going to have two free visits that you can come down and see your loved one, and it is scheduled. You know that we're not going to turn you away.
All right. You used the term remote visit, so let's be clear about this.
Yes.
When you visit, it will be on this video device.
Correct.
The first two will now be free. After that, you'll be paying for it by the 25-minute interval.
No. Actually, you can do 10 minutes. $5 for 10 minutes.
Okay. So there's a sliding scale for a number.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it is.
Did Toussaint Romain know this?
I don't know. I was listening to some of the numbers that I'm not sure if he knows or not.
So this cost $1.7 million. This system cost $1.7 million.
No cost to the taxpayer.
So the county paid absolutely not one red cent.
That's
for
correct.
This. So the money that is collected from these visits, that goes to this company called GTL. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do they set the fee or do you set the fee?
They set the fee, and this is the two. They come in and supply the infrastructure to set this video visitation up at no cost to anyone. Mm-hmm. And it makes the old system, I mean, very difficult scheduling. They bring in everything that now we don't have to, when a person, if you came to visit somebody, we're going to have to remove them from a cell, search them, bring them to the visitation area. They visit, then before they go back, they're going to have to be searched again and taken back.
But under the old system, correct me if I'm wrong, you sat with a piece of glass between you.
In between.
So how could you pass contraband?
We still, because they're moving, they're passing other inmates. We always made sure it's safety and security. We make sure no contraband comes into our facilities.
So, how does it work now? These video devices are not in every cell.
So yes,
they are.
Yes, they're not in the cell. They're in the pod.
Okay.
They're in the housing unit.
All right.
So they're in the housing unit. Everything is scheduled.
So they don't leave the housing unit. So
correct.
Therefore, there's no need to search them in either direction.
That is correct. And it takes no staff. Mm-hmm. But all they do is they just get up and just come out to the area.
So, I mean, I understand Toussaint Romain's problem with the profit nature of this, because profit is being made off of people who, in most cases, in many cases, can't afford to pay those fees. And they're in jail. Some of them are innocent and will be proven innocent, or their case will be thrown out. And a lot of times their families go into debt to pay for these phone calls and the care packages that they need for personal hygiene products and food and snacks and things like that. And I understand all of that. This is a $1.7 million system that the county didn't pay for, but it's being paid for by poor people or people using the system. Let's take the poor out of it. Why did you need it? Why couldn't you accomplish the same thing with an iPhone on both sides of the equation, or a computer terminal with an intranet, which only goes through the jail system? It doesn't go on the internet. It just goes through the internal workings of your network. Why couldn't that be accomplished for a lot less money than $1.7 million? And then you could then offer this service free.
It is offered free. You come into our facility now, as of today, two times a week.
I mean completely free, anytime you want to use it. Because let's face it, it's just an internet connection. It's a computer. It's a computer system with a microphone and a camera on both ends. Everybody in the world has that at their fingertips right now, just about.
That's right.
So why do you need to spend $1 million, almost $2 million, on and then give profits to this outside company when you could have done it yourself?
You know, the average stay of someone in the Mecklenburg County Jail is 18 days.
Okay.
So there now, you're able to get up to five visits in that 18-day period, free of charge. Doesn't cost anyone.
That doesn't answer my question. Why you buy a couple of Chromebooks and you could accomplish the same thing for a couple hundred dollars?
Because safety and security. This information is recorded. Everything is safety and security. They brought in the infrastructure.
Did you record the old phone call system with the glass in between? Did you record those calls as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's listened to. Yes.
And they know.
Yes.
The inmates and the families know.
Yes.
And that's standard procedure across every jail in the country, pretty much?
Yes.
You don't record the conversations between inmates and attorneys.
No, absolutely.
How do we
not.
Know that?
Well, it's not.
Because it's the same
not.
Way, right? It's through the glass on the telephone.
They can actually have contact visits with the attorneys. That's arranged.
Okay. What do you do with the information you mine from these recorded conversations? Do you turn them over to the district attorney? Do you turn them over to the prosecutor? What do you do with them?
I mean, it's just like the phone calls. All phone calls are recorded, and the CMPD may use it. They may be doing an investigation. So all this information is recorded. Then the folks listen to it.
Okay. So it used to be $12.50 for an additional 25-minute visit. Now you're saying it's $12.50 for that. It's $5.
Well, it's five. Yeah, you have a choice of $5 for 10 minutes or $12.50 for 25 minutes. And that is optional. And that is scheduled any time that you would like, any day of the week, from the convenience of your home, wherever. It's like this. What is great about this is that children do not come inside the facilities. They never see the jail. Plus, the family member is able to see, they're able to look and see inside their home. They're able to see the couch. They're able to see the pictures.
So what you're saying, this is an internet situation. If you have a laptop with a camera and a microphone, you can have this conversation from your home, is what you're saying.
Correct. And from your iPhone.
You don't have to go to the jail.
Correct. You do not.
So it's scheduled so that the person in the cell knows when the call is coming.
Exactly. Everything is scheduled. They know there's a master schedule, and that loved one will be prepared to make that phone call.
Well, some say, as you heard, that this exploits the poor. And what do you say to that?
You know, we're offering two free visits to come down and see your loved ones, free of charge. The folks who want to do this.
But that's new and probably based on criticism that's come from this. This has been going on for a year, right?
Since October of 2016.
And just today you're announcing this.
No, it was announced in 2016,
The two free visits?
Oh, no. Today, it's always been one visit.
Right.
As of today, we're going to announce that we're going to do two.
Because you heard criticism and you listened to the criticism and you're responding to the criticism.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, but some say it's the definition of exploitation is, quote, the action or fact of treating someone unfairly in order to benefit from their work or the action of making use of and benefiting from resources. How much money has been generated by GTL from these visits at Mecklenburg County's jails?
You know, I personally do not know because, like I said, we do not make anything
but
off
of it. You can figure it out.
I was listening to where we have went up 25.9%. That's not all paid visits.
I understand that.
Yes. And matter of fact, the majority of them, I would say, are free visits. You come, especially on the weekends, it is a packed schedule. You got 30 going at a time.
Okay. Sheriff Erwin Carmichael, I guess he's the Mecklenburg County Sheriff. We're going to continue talking about this when we come back from the break. And a few other things as well. Stay with us. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Mecklenburg County's practice of video visits to jails now, which cost money as of today after the first two free visits per week. And it's on a sliding scale depending upon how many minutes you want to use. And you can make these visits from the comfort of your own home.
Yes.
If you're not the inmate, obviously.
Right.
Sheriff Erwin Carmichael is our guest. He is a Mecklenburg County sheriff, and he made the decision to implement this policy about a year ago. So the system cost about $1.7 million to install. This company, GTL, out of Reston, Virginia, serves jails in 50 states with phone systems around the country. They take the money that's paid after the first visits that are free. Does the Sheriff's Department, does Mecklenburg County get any of that money? Do they pay? Toussaint Romain used the term kickback. I'm not sure that's the proper term, but do you get a percentage of it?
No, we do not.
You get nothing at all?
We get nothing at all.
Zero.
Right, because they ended up creating the infrastructure. They brought everything in. They set up the machines. They set up everything inside the facility for these visits. So everything is free of charge on site.
Which gets to his big problem with this, that this is part of the profitization of prisons in America. This is a way to make a profit off people in unfortunate circumstances, some of whom will be found not guilty. So is that fair? Why isn't that exploitation? Why are we doing this to people? Why are we allowing a company, an outside company, to make a profit off the misfortune of people?
You know, this is, we are doubling from the old system to what we have today. They're able to see their loved ones twice
as much. I
understand that,
but why are we making a profit off of it?
We're not making a profit off of it.
Someone is.
This is optional. The profit part that you're referring to is the ones who want to do remote visits. That means someone who may be having a birthday party for grandmother,
right,
and they want to contact their loved one inside the facility, and now they're able to share that moment. And we're able to connect these folks inside our facility with their loved ones more often. And the the folks inside.
But I get back to the fact that you can do that with two Chromebooks or a Chromebook on your side or an iPhone on your side and whatever piece of device they want to use at home that you dial in on the you click on in the internet. And it's done. I mean, it doesn't seem to be terribly expensive. The infrastructure already exists. Why allow this company to make a profit when you could probably do this yourself, charge a lot less money, and make some money for the jail?
Well, again, this mm-hmm. is paid in regards to remote visits. On-site, it was free of charge. Didn't cost the county taxpayers or anyone.
So I can come any day of the week, as many times a day, for as long as I want, to a station, for lack of a better term, inside the jail as a person visiting the inmate. I can do that anytime I want to?
No, you cannot, because this is now. You come into our work release restitution center. Okay. You have a scheduled appointment,
okay.
Your scheduled time that you come, and you're going to be able to sit here and interact with your loved one for 25 minutes.
For free?
For free.
The first two times?
Two times,
no matter
correct.
Where I do it, whether I'm at home.
No, you're going to do it at our work release restitution center. It's like coming
so
down.
So the home visits.
Yes.
Grandma's showing the birthday party.
Yes.
They always cost money.
Yes, they do.
Okay. The American Correctional Association, the organization that accredits Mecklenburg County Jail, says that correctional agencies should promote the use of emerging technologies as supplements to existing in-person visitation. Even GTL, the company that you contracted with for this system, says that video visitation is an effective complement to traditional visitation methods, not one meant to replace them. It's replaced them.
Well, yes, because why? It's now, we won't, again, before, if we just stayed with the in-person visits, mm-hmm. just you're coming down one time a week, and you're going to visit your loved one on a set day at a set time. With folks scheduled today, I mean, we want to make it convenient for everyone. And you're able to see your loved ones on the day that you choose and the time that you choose within the parameters. And you're able to visit your loved one now, not one day a week, two times a week. And then if you want to do it remotely, you can. And we have actually had an inmate see his own child born in the hospital, and that could have only been done through this video visitation.
Mm. Inmate attorney visits are face-to-face.
Yes.
And they're in the jails. What's the difference between those visits and the safety and personnel involved to transport inmates from their cell to the attorney and back versus the family member or loved one visits? What's the difference?
Well, because they're not going to be moved 1,500 times in a day.
Okay.
So this person is in the attorney-client privilege. We want to make sure that is not that's not going. They can have a in-person where they can go into a private room and they can discuss the case.
I asked Toussaint Romain about something that his boss, Kevin Tully, the public defender, said about these visits, and he said that this is. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he says essentially that the old visits, the old system, allowed family members to communicate the intentions of attorneys, that the inmates often don't trust their attorneys, and the attorneys, if they're having a public defender, don't really get to know them very well before they have to try them. So they can see the family more easily and more frequently, and the family then can transmit strategy or familiarize the inmate with the case before they see their attorney in the courtroom, and that this new system is an impediment to that because they're afraid they're being recorded. If you recorded in both situations, why is this any different in your mind, or is it to you?
You know, it's not. I mean,
you're saying that's an unfair criticism.
Oh yes,
of this system.
Yes, I mean this system is to complement where they're able to see their loved ones more, and they can have the opportunity to be connected outside. And again, an average stay is 18 days.
One of the other criticisms of this, not only here but around the country, is that this is a monopolistic system. This is one company who came in and installed this system. They make the money off of the visits after the first. I'm going to be clear about this. After the first two free visits.
Yes.
They make the money. They keep the money. And that this is monopolistic. Why not let another company come in and let them compete for what it's going to cost the families of the inmates as they come in and make their visits on this system?
Right. Well, like I said, they're the first company to approach in regards to bringing in the infrastructure, no charge, and they're managing the entire system. I mean, they're bringing in, they're doing the scheduling piece. Everything is arranged remotely. And so you from at home, or you can come down at the jail, you can arrange a time that you want to meet your see your loved one through this on-site visit.
You thought long and hard about this before you put the system
in. This was already in motion before I was ever elected in the sheriff. But, yes, okay. I've carried it through.
Does the furor, if that's what the right word is for this, is the controversy that has cropped up around this, does it surprise you?
You know, this is why I listen. Okay, to me, a good leader is going to sit here and listen, weigh things. And that's why we checked, made sure that the system could handle it, that we are now doubling the free visits.
Okay.
So twice a week. And I've been by. I have went to the video visitation. I've talked to folks that have used it. And when they heard of the old way, they said, absolutely, this is the best way.
So if you were able to decide to increase the free visits from one to two per week, why couldn't you have said three? Could you say three? Could you say four? Could you say, we're not going to charge $12.50 for 25 minutes anymore. We're going to charge $3. Could you make that decision, or is that a decision that only that company that you contracted with could make?
Right. We work with them, because to get them to do the doubling the visits now where they have two instead of one, mm-hmm. we had to work with them. But we also want to make sure that the quality is still there in regards.
Well, people have complained about the quality. They have said that sometimes the picture and the sound are quirky, and that because on the inmate side of the conversation, the device, whatever right. it is that allows them to look into a camera and talk into a microphone, is in this pod, and the pod right. can be noisy. It can sometimes be difficult to hear, and because it's not a TV studio, the lighting can be less than optimal, and so it's hard to see the inmate sometime. What about that?
Well, I think if
you're paying money for this, it should be a great connection. It should be high-definition 4K.
Right, right. Well, if you come into our jails and our pods, I don't think you're going to see it extremely loud mm-hmm. because, I mean, at all times— I mean, everyone.
So the people criticizing you for that are wrong?
If they're saying it's loud in the pods.
They're saying they can't hear the conversation because it's loud in the pods. Or they're saying they can't see their loved one because the picture freezes, or it's too dark, or half the picture is drawn but the other half is blank.
Right.
And there are quirks on the internet.
Absolutely.
That's what this is.
Absolutely.
So are those criticisms not valid? And if you're having a bad connection where you can't hear and you can't see, do they pay full
Absolutely.
Freight for that?
No, they do not. They do not. All they have to do is make them aware of it, and then they work with them. The vendor works with them. GTL does.
You're out of the
Yes,
equipment.
I'm out of it. I mean, but the GTL has always worked with them. And, you know, I would, again, I've been down there. I've talked to the folks, the users. We've talked to inmates. Mm-hmm. They like it. Now, there may be some folks that you do have a bad internet connection, and they will work with that. Just as soon as we hear of a problem, we immediately let them know, and they work through the issue.
So there was another, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I understand, there was another recent change involving attorneys and inmates. According to JusticeToday.com, in late August, local public defenders were informed they can no longer call defendants at the jail housing women and juveniles. That's correct? That's true?
As for juveniles?
Yes. Evidently, they were in the same general location. They're about 25 minutes or 25 miles from the public defender's office, and they can no longer make phone calls to those people. Is that true?
They can, I mean, yes, but they have to arrange, because a lot of times they want to just make it on their schedule, their time.
They being the attorneys?
Yes. I mean, we have to arrange it because folks that are inside our facilities, we just don't warehouse folks. They're in programs. They're in classes. And we want to make sure we arrange everything so we're not disrupting.
So it's incorrect. JusticeToday.com says that public defenders can no longer call defendants at the jail housing women and juveniles. Now they can only talk to clients who call them. That is incorrect.
We do not interfere in regards to them speaking to them. If they are – if an attorney client, they're able to see them, okay? They're able to come down and schedule and see them. I mean
– But call them.
They can talk to them on the phone.
Okay. Why I'm asking you. Because
right, but we it needs to be scheduled.
Information.
Yes, yes. Okay. It needs to be scheduled.
Okay. Because evidently, as I said, the jail's about 25 miles from the public defender's office, and it saves time on the drive. And then when the attorney gets there, there's time for they have to wait while the inmate is searched and brought to them and vice versa. So that's not...
If it's scheduled, absolutely. We will have them, and they're prepared. Everything is set. We know that they're going to visit at 11 o'clock. They're going to be there and ready to go.
How many complaints have you gotten about the video?
I mean, at first, I mean, again, you got to work out all the bugs. Do bugs still creep up? Absolutely. But they respond quickly to any issues that we have.
We had a public conversation on this program with a number of city and county leaders last week, among them CMPD Chief Kirk Putney, who makes a point of saying that his officers, and he said this on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday night of last week, do not ask about the immigration status of people they encounter while doing their jobs. He says doing so makes people less safe. And former CMPD Detective Gary McFadden says it hurts law enforcement by making immigrants wary of police. Yet the sheriff's office is involved in this voluntary 287G program, which is a federal program that you can opt into or not take part in, and you've chosen to do it. Given what the CMPD chief says, why do you do it?
You know, and I would love to see the data that shows that it makes us, makes it unsafe or makes it where these folks will not speak to law enforcement. I mean, we haven't seen the data. I mean, they make these claims. We haven't seen it. The reason we have the 287G program is you have to be arrested and charged with a crime and brought into our jail. We need to know who this person is. And we're able to know this through this program because it is a global database. Everybody who's brought into our jail are asked the same two questions. Where are you born? Where are you a citizen of? Depending on how you answer those questions or whether you're going to be entered into the program. Just like last week, we had two MS-13 gang members from New York. They came to Charlotte to hide out. If we did not have this program, we wouldn't have been able to identify them. But because we have this program, we're able to identify them, know exactly who they are. And if the program was not here, they would be released back out into the community. With this program, they will not be released back out.
We have less than a minute left. In the wake of the Florida high school shooting, you canceled a planned gun raffle, which I believe you were planning to raffle, I think, 15 handguns, long guns, including some semi-automatic assault-style rifles. Given that the police are already outgunned, according to them, why have a gun raffle?
We know 90% of the folks who purchased the gun raffle tickets were concealed carry permit holders, and which is the sheriff's statutory responsibility to issue these concealed carry permits. And in Mecklenburg County, we have 31,000 concealed carry permits, and in 22 and a half years, not one has ever committed a felony.
Okay. The sheriff of Broward County, Florida, says he is not in favor of arming teachers. I have 5 seconds. Are you?
You know, they would have to go through. No. No.
Okay, no. Sheriff Erwin Carmichael, Mecklenburg County Sheriff, thank you for joining us this hour. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you having us.